and a fire to see the truth. But I'm gonna take a stand in all I say and do.
Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, where our conversations challenge Christian growth. This is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Radsloff.
And today, Janie, we're going to be discussing why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives.
All right.
Last week, we talked about the different roles he plays. John 15, 26, he testifies of Christ. John 16, 8, and 9 convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 14, 23, he establishes our bodies as His temple, where the Father and Son can reside. John 16, 13, guides us into all truth. John 16, 14, glorifies Christ. And John 16, 15, discloses the things of Christ to us. And that's what we talked about last week. And so this week, we're going to be looking at why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. Matthew 11, 27 says, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him."
Well, that is a mouthful that you've just said, Sharon. And you know, practically, if we were to go out, as we are being commanded to do, to the lost, to the shopping place, the marketplace, and we were to start to tell people about how the Holy Spirit guides people into all truth and how Christ needs to be glorified, we would probably be in serious trouble in the culture that we have to live in these days. And with that verse of Matthew 11:27 that you quoted, there's one that you didn't say anything about because we hadn't really stressed it. The Holy Spirit's also described as the other helper, John 14:26. And it says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you." And then correlating that with what you said, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him." Somebody listening to our conversation right now would say, "You girls are really narrow-minded."
Well, I recall, that's a good thing.
It depends on which side of the fence you're on. And nowadays, we have the liberal side of life making that charge against us as a Christian society many, many, many times. And I think being narrow-minded in this particular incident is really good. But, you know, Sharon, the world is narrow-minded. If you stop and think about our electronics, we have to have a particular password. And if you don't have the right digit, you don't connect with your device.
Yes, that's true.
And all of our telephone companies give us a telephone number. And if you miss out of, what is that, 3, 3, and 6, and 4 is 10, if you miss one digit, you don't get the person that you were calling.
That's true.
And so when Jesus says, "For the gate is narrow that leads to life, and those that find it are few," they will accuse us of narrow-mindedness. We need to say, so is Southwestern Bell, so is Comcast, so is Sprint, so are all these others.
Well, and you have to also look at the internet. You have to put in a URL for getting to a certain website. If you change one letter, you don't get to the place that you need to go.
And I find that if you go out, you've taught me this, if you go in and just do a search and you don't have a particular sequence, you can get more things that just take up your time, are meaningless, are vanity, nothing to where you're wanting to go, your objective.
Right. And it, whoever pays the most gets the front page. So
yes, I've learned that from my business. So, you know, others can teach about God and claim to seek God, but only Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father God except through me." And if that's narrow-minded, then I think I'm going to have to stay on that path, Sharon.
Right.
Because broad is the path that leads to death.
Yes.
And so I believe we have to declare it, even if we are then accused falsely. But we have to stand for knowing that there is a path that leads to life, and we cannot allow people, situations, pressures, governments to deter us from that path.
And don't you think that we've become a culture of such acceptance that we've lightened Christianity to a point that we allow sin in people's lives just to fit in?
Well, yes. And we always say we want to err on the side of love if we're going to err. But that can be just as dangerous if our love is the wrong kind of love, if it is a love that actually endorses sin. Now, I know that we are to be long-suffering. My word, look at how the Lord Jesus and Father God has been our whole lifetime
exactly
being long-suffering. And yet, you have to hold balance. And so to see someone in a blatant sin, with after having been admonished or called into accountability, mm-hmm. laughing it off, justifying it. And that's what I find is a lot of Christianity today is justifying their lifestyle with yes. a standard that's not in conjunction with the Word of God.
Right, right. And that goes back to not walking in the Spirit, because if we were walking in the Spirit, then we would know that is not the mind of Christ, that is not glorifying God, that is not bearing witness of Him. And so if we are responsible for allowing those different roles to be played in our life, then, hey, we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to indwell us the way He is supposed to.
And flopping back and forth, the Lord's grace covers that, but He does command for us to be consistent. And the Bible talks about us doing everything in a timely fashion and in the right order. So I know you and I have had some laughter and a couple of tears this week where we've flip-flopped on things that have hit us kind mm-hmm. of in the pit of the stomach.
Yeah.
And we wanted to go with some emotions, but we realized the danger in letting the emotions go the wrong way. I'm not knocking having emotions. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking having feelings. But if that becomes where we get in and get comfortable, then we're really going to be bringing shame on our Father God's family name and the name right. that we claim to bear. So in the Lord Jesus's absence, He said, it's not like I have finished dying on the cross and been resurrected from the dead so that you know that you can have eternal life. But I'm going to send someone in my place that will continue right on mm-hmm. working.
Right.
Jesus Christ will continue His work while He's away preparing a place for us in saving us, setting us apart for service and ministry, establishing the body of Christ, revealing what His eternal game plan is, and giving us that hope in Colossians where it says, what is your true identity? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that has been a mystery in the times of past. Because in times past, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person, but never indwelled a person.
Right.
Now, it would be great to have somebody come visit me every once in a while. I would appreciate that company. But if it's someone I love dearly, like I'll just use my husband, if he would just say, hey, I'm going to come over and see you on Tuesdays and Friday nights, but I'm not darkening the doorway otherwise, you know, there would be a terrible loss. Mm-hmm. When you really love somebody, you want to be in their presence all the time. Now, you don't have to be talking all the time, mm-hmm. but just to be in their presence gives you security, gives you a sense of worth, belonging. And so that's what the Lord is saying. I'm going to send myself in the role or the agent of the Holy Spirit, who is a real person. And He will continue right on doing everything I've done. And He will even do more because He can be indwelling everyone all the time, which is a concept I still can't wrap my head around, yeah. but I trust by faith.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things like that with the Lord that we can't wrap our heads around, but we just trust by faith.
Well, and you know what puts this all together? We've been talking now for the last few weeks about agape love, but is that not what really pulls all this together, wanting to be with the Holy Spirit, yield to Him, not bring shame, to have a prayer life of communion. Isn't it because of love? I mean, would you have another reason you'd want to do it if it wasn't because of the love that He has given us?
I can't think of a thing that we would want to have the Lord there for is except for love.
Because, you know, if we had Him there and because we were trying to use Him and manipulate Him, that's not going to work.
Well, He already knows that, so He wouldn't be there.
That's right. So other people could say, well, I have my own reasons on why I want to, and I don't have to go the way of agape love. That is just too costly. That is too sacrificial. So I will just serve the Lord or work for the Lord in my own way. And the sadness there is, it will be your own way. And when you have to give an account, then your own way is going to fall short. The other thing that's neat, Sharon, that just popped into my head, and that's in Ephesians 3:10, where every time we give Him glory, just like we are doing today, we don't need the kudos for ourselves. We don't want them.
Yeah.
But we are giving a living testimony to the unseen forces. And that's what Ephesians 3:10 tells us, that every time we share Him, even if we're out in the marketplace and we're rejected, the unseen forces are still seeing what grace is about. And we give glory, we give honor by being consistently faithful in our sharing, doesn't matter what the response is. And then I'll take that same principle and say, when these things that can hit you that are pits in the stomach, we cannot go with where our natural response is. You know, we've said many times, as Oswald Chambers has coined it, and that is, moods don't go by praying. Moods, bad moods, go by kicking.
Yeah, and I think that recognizing when you're letting that emotion come on, or when you're letting that mood come on, recognizing that it is key. Because if you don't recognize it, if you don't pay attention and start kicking, then you could really end up down a wrong path for a really long time.
Right. You know, when the Christmas season approaches at any time, well, I mean, on any year, there's so much music about memories and wanting to be together as a family. Now, they don't play that kind of music on the 4th of July in America,
right.
Or they don't play it on some of the other holidays in other nations. But Christmas for the Christian has a lot of invoking of family memories. And as we choose to be consistent with the Lord, we're making memories, Sharon, that if we can't, as the song says, be home for Christmas, that He is still so alive in our hearts because we understand to a degree the importance of family.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when I talk with other ladies, how much they really grab a hold of the concept that they are a bride preparing to be a part of the bridegroom with a future family relationship with Him. But today we already have that family relationship as being the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ being the head.
Mm-hmm.
So He then gives us families as illustrations to show us how important it is. Because can you imagine if you went home at night and Terry was alive and well, but just without a head? I mean, somehow he could still relate to you, but there was just no head. There was just the body. I mean, there would be a lot lacking, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
Even if there was some way that he could communicate to
yeah.
you. So this was not concept. It's the truth of understanding that we're family. And we had a little conversation earlier today. Well, Janie, are we still going to go ahead with our projects and things? Do we have other replacements? And you know, Sharon, there is no other replacement. It's Sharon Hoskins or it's nobody.
Same with you.
And that brings on a special mm-hmm. depth of oneness, of love, of all kind of emotions, all kinds of feelings, but a bonding that does express what family life is supposed to express.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is here to make that a reality.
And I think that having that bond, knowing that we can't function without each other.
Yes,
and
good
I think,
point.
I think that's the key with the Holy Spirit, is knowing that you know what? I can't function this day without the Holy Spirit guiding my life. And so I need the Holy Spirit. I need you to guide me today. You know, giving him that assurance, that place, that freedom to play out these roles.
Yes.
And to guide me and lead me so that I don't walk in the flesh. And it's a daily discipline. And discipline is something that that I will admit I struggle with in many different areas. You know, just disciplining myself to focus. I think I have ADHD, but I'm not taking medicine.
Well, but you bring out another really great point, Sharon, and that is in our oneness, because of us being in ministry together, because of being sisters in Christ together, we still have different roles that we play in this oneness.
Right.
If you ask me to come in and take over your IT responsibilities, with many tears, I would have to admit defeat and bow out. I'm not gifted there. If you went through all the research that I do on many different things to just bring thoughts together that we can then mull over as we want, you wouldn't have time to take care of your family.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so the Lord has me in a different mode of life, at a different season of life, but it still is oneness. It's still wholeness. It's still Christ in you. So that's a beautiful thing, that we can have oneness and still have great diversity in how we function. And that's the way the Trinity does.
Don't you think that we get caught up as Christians thinking that we all have to act alike?
Cookie cutter Christians.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And
so, yeah.
Very boring. And the Lord would say that would then kind of nullify his creativity because no two of us are alike.
We tend to look at each other and go, how come I don't do that? How come I can't do that?
Can't do that. Well, and if he's so concerned to make no two snowflakes in the same pattern.
That's a good point.
Then don't you know that his uniqueness in creating us as individuals, that he has each one of us fashioned after the way his creativity wants us for the eternal plan? And I find just on this subject that in 1 John 4:19, when we're talking about this agape love, you know, it tells us that we love him because he first loved us.
Right.
And Sharon, I am so aware that I wouldn't know how to love him if he did not love me first and draw me to himself.
And show us how to love.
And that's why I think he came as a babe in flesh. We never would have understood if we had been created as man and God the Father Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I don't know that we ever would have been willing to learn how to relate to them if there had not been some skin on.
Right.
And so Jesus Christ, and I hope that's not sounding too fleshly, but Jesus Christ came to give skin on so that we could see Father God and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he is going to be that way forever and ever. We will always be able to see the nail prints in his hands and in his feet and know what he did for us.
Yeah.
But, you know, in regards to 1 John 4:19, he also rewards us and rewards us in the way that he loves us. And as I've done some studying in the last few weeks, I found some things that I'd just like to share with you just in the uniqueness of the roles that they play.
Okay.
Father God, Spirit, real person, all love, loves us by meeting our needs.
Okay.
And that is that his love supplies and trains us with what we need. And that's total love, sacrificial love. But I never really just thought about Father God meeting the needs. I always kind of looked at that more like maybe the Lord Jesus. And yet we're talking about three in one, but we're talking about different roles.
And you know, you say that, and I think about, I know when I was a kid, I can remember times that we didn't have much on the table, you know. And I remember my dad would always make sure that we were fed first.
Oh.
And so, you know, you see that image of God supplying beautiful. That need.
Beautiful.
You know,
yes.
whether you know, we had brand new bikes or, you know, new toys or the best of the best clothes, he always supplied the need of having that food on the table and clothes on our back and roof over our head. It wasn't always beautiful, but it was a need fulfilled.
And you saw the source of it. Mm-hmm. Well, you were blessed to have that, because how many people don't have a father to where they can see to relate, or they have a father who has been abusive or passive or absent. And it's hard then to really understand how to know God with no on flesh representative. But Jesus Christ, and I love this, Sharon, since you and I both realize we still have feelings and emotions.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we got to kick them out.
That's right.
Get them under control. Yes.
But that the Lord Jesus really wants to deal with us as we see as his words in the New Testament and the instructions he's given. And so he really deals with our thoughts, our emotions, and our feelings in us learning to know him intimately. Because if we can't get these feelings and emotions and our belief system under control and abiding according to the scripture, which mm-hmm. we say is our only authority and our final authority, and it's sufficient, then it's going to be hard for us to really be willing to walk according to the admonitions that he's given us. When he says in Colossians, seek those things that are above, that's for to help us with how we respond to our feelings, our emotions, our belief system, our prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really wants us to feel and comprehend and apprehend the nearness that he has for us. All right.
Yeah.
So if we can just kind of really think about Father God supplying all of our needs, Jesus taking care of all of our mind, will, and emotions and interceding for us, and then the Holy Spirit having the toughest job in the universes,
yeah.
and that is applying all of it in our life to be real.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We better close out for today.
Okay.
Can you close us out in prayer?
I would be happy to, Sharon. Lord, the lesson today has probably been short and sweet, and yet it has been deep and profound. When we realize that the all-sufficient triune Godhead has a unified purpose, plan of execution and bringing to completeness, that you have then shown us in different ways and different roles of how you work to meet each different facet of our need. And Father, there are some today that don't know you as Father. They don't know you as Savior. They don't know you as guide and comfort. They need a witness, Father. So may the words today that were spoken be a light and a witness to your sufficiency. And then, Father, may we have the opportunity during the week that you would bring some to us. And, Father, they may not always be delightful. But, Father, we can keep our hearts right and keep it against discouragement, keep it against anger or anxiety, knowing that you're sufficient for every situation that you allow or that you directly bring. So, Father, we just ask that as we continue to look to you in behalf of our growth and our eternal destiny, that the Holy Spirit will be faithful and that, Father, will be still enough, long enough that we can hear his voice. We have to trust you, Father, that these prayers will be given to you and that you will execute them according to your good will. Thank you that we can have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today for the challenging conversation. If you would like to hear this broadcast again, you can go to SharonHearts.org. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
I will choose Christ. I will choose love. I choose to serve.